Well, hey, I'm excited to introduce our speaker tonight. We're going to have Levi Walker joining us as our preacher tonight. And Levi, you can come up. Yeah. Levi is a dear friend of mine. He's somebody that I have known for a very long time. I became the student ministries pastor here at Christian Assembly right at the end of Levi's senior year. So I got to know him right as he was a graduated senior heading in to do DTS and college and all of that great stuff. And I've got to watch Levi grow as a husband, as a father, as a pastor over the last many, 11, 12 years, many years, lots of years. And Levi is just a dear friend of mine. He's one of my favorite teachers of God's word. And so we're excited to hear from him. Welcome, Levi, as he speaks tonight.
Thanks, Bo.
It's good to be with you, Fusion. Love you guys. Yeah, I just want to honor, like, you guys have such an incredible team that's here taking care of you. Just see faithful, faithful, faithful. And so thank you for having me tonight. It's good to be with you all. Excited to jump into this Real ID series, and I just want to encourage us tonight. Don't treat tonight any differently than usual, just because I'm a different face than usual. We come to God's Word tonight, and because we come to God's Word, we come to God Himself, and that's what we can have faith in tonight. Amen, amen. When I was in college, I was taking a physics course. And I'm a math guy, so I enjoy that sort of stuff. But has anyone ever been in a situation where you didn't prepare for something adequately? You know, whether you didn't practice your piece enough before a recital, you didn't study enough information before a test, you didn't fully understand all the rules of the road before going for that permit test or the driving test, right? Well, for this one particular physics test, our professor informed us that we were allowed to prepare a cheat sheet for it, right? And so I'm convinced professors only do that to lure you into a false sense of security, right? But in my mind, I think, oh, a cheat sheet, it's basically done. Like, easy money, nothing to worry about, right? Famous last words. I dutifully prepare my cheat sheet, and then dutifully didn't study anymore after that, right? Because I had a cheat sheet. So what could go wrong? It just so happened that a lot of things could go wrong. I got into the test, and yes, I had my cheat sheet. I had all the right answers with me, right? But I was so dependent on my cheat sheet that it took me a very, very long time to answer each question, and I didn't end up finishing the test before the time ended. I had all the right answers with me, but I didn't have any of the right answers in me. And because of that, it wasn't second nature. It wasn't instinct. I wasn't able to put down the information that I needed to for this test. And Fusion, I just wonder if any of us have ever felt that about life with God. Like, yeah, I prayed this prayer this one time. I know that, like, there's this trivia about me that I'm a follower of Jesus, that I'm saved, but it feels very removed from my actual experience of God, right? Like, I know that I have Jesus with me, but I don't know that I've experienced God in me before. And I know that I've been forgiven by God, but this whole, like, new life thing seems foreign to me, right? And I want to be clear, being forgiven, that's a core part of the gospel. We don't want to gloss over that. But forgiveness is the beginning of a new life. It's not the whole thing, right? It's what kicks off a new and different kind of life with God. It's not just about transferring your future destination. It's about transforming your present reality as well, right? It's forgiveness to change the heart, not just change an eternal destination. So we're in this series called Real ID. And every week we're exploring who God says you are, because that is the truest thing about you. Your feelings about yourself will change. Your perception will vary between yourself and other people. What is truest about you is what your Creator says about you. And so that's what we're taking time to study. But sometimes we can sort of limit our thinking of salvation, what God has done for us, to just our position before God. And that's great news in and of itself, right? That's very good news. I was a sinner standing condemned, but now my position is a son of the Most High God, right? I'm forgiven, redeemed, adopted into God's family, justified before Him. That's really good news. But it keeps going. There's better and better news in the gospel. Our real ID gets even better than that. It's not just a new position before God. It's not just that our position has been moved. It's that our nature has been transformed as well, right? We are made new. We're set free. We're more than conquerors through God's transforming power. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight. God's not just doing something that's defining a different future. It's something that's going to change your present reality. Because what God says about me is true, I can start living a different life, starting now that lasts for eternity. That's what eternal life is. So that's what we're going to talk about tonight. Would you guys just pray with me, raising our faith that God has something to say to each and every one of us tonight? God, thank you that every time we come to your word, we're in danger of an encounter with you. So God, I pray that you would speak to every single heart in this room tonight. God, would you bring your comfort? Would you bring your conviction and correction because of your great love for us? God, would you help, by the power of your Holy Spirit, let this not just be information, but let this transform us, God. Let this be transformation by the power of your word and spirit. We love you, God. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. So here we go. First point, if you're a note taker like me, you can find it in your bulletin, right? In Christ, we are made new. What does that mean? Life with Jesus is not just a new status, but a new condition. In Christ, we're made new. Life with Jesus is not just a new status. You're not just a new barcode. You have a new condition. The ingredients have changed, right? And this sounds cool, like cool contrasting parallelism, Levi, right? But what does this actually mean? We need to, in order to fully understand the depth of this good news, we need to understand, if we're made new, what was the old, right? And so let's go to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. Paul says, "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving wrath." What I want to highlight from this passage is that this verse clearly paints the picture that we're not just guilty because of our sin. That's true, but we're not just guilty. We're also distorted because of our sin. Right? Your actions shape who you become. And when you're sinning, your sin will deform you, right? Sin is the central problem. It's what defines life before and apart from God. Here's the thing, because God's the creator, sin is not just breaking the rules, it's breaking your nature, right? God does not just have these arbitrary ideas and rules just to put rules on us. He's the creator. He's the designer. He knows what brings flourishing and true life. You see, if I lie, yes, I'm breaking God's rules. But I'm not just breaking his rules. I'm breaking my own nature, because as I lie, in addition to the harm and hurt that it's going to cause people around me, in addition to that, it makes me more and more willing to deceive others in the future. And it's going to make me suspicious of, what if other people are lying to me too? And you see how quickly I'm being deformed by my sin. I am ruined. I'm broken by this action that is against God's defined will. Sin is the central problem. The action of sin changes who I become. It's what it does. It twists our desires and our motivations towards selfishness and evil. And with a broken nature, broken desires come naturally, right? And so we shouldn't be shocked when, if there's something we want to do and it conflicts with God's word, with God's way, we shouldn't be shocked by that. We should expect that sometimes. And it just because something comes naturally to us, that's not our standard of what's right and good. We have broken natures, broken by sin. We need a standard outside of us to reveal what is good. And that's what God has given us in his word. That was chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. Let's get to verse 4. "But because of his great love for us, Because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. You see, Fusion, we needed to be forgiven and made new, right? And that's exactly the kind of salvation that was offered to us in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says this, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here." Listen to this. In the New Testament, which was written in Greek, there are two different words that can be translated as new. There's neos and kainos, right? Neos is talking about new in time, right? Talking about the new year, 2023, as contrasted with 2022, with 2021. It's the new one. It's the next one, right? That's what neos means. It's new in time. But kainos, it means new in kind. Right? And so when you're looking at a new year, it's not just like, oh yeah, that's another, the number increased by one. It's no, this is going to be a new year. This year's going to be different. This year I'm committing to this. This year, it's going to be different in kind, not just different in time. And that's the word that's used here. The old has gone. The new has come. It's not just you 2.0. You see, the reason we needed more than forgiveness, the reason we needed transformation is, do you realize how hopeless it would be if God only forgave us of our sin, then said, get back out there, champ. Do better this time, right? If my nature is still broken, that didn't fix anything. I'll undo that forgiveness like that. I needed a deeper salvation, and that's exactly the salvation that was provided for me. Provided for us, Fusion, new life in Christ, it's not just a reset, it's a resurrection. Wow. New life in Christ, it's not just living again, it's the opportunity to live differently. It's not just a second chance, it's a second birth. Right. And that is the bedrock of all of our hope in Christ, is that we are made new. Jesus saved us as deeply as we were fallen, as deeply as we were broken, where sin increased, grace increased all the more. And a specific part of being made new and living differently is number two, in Christ, we are set free. Jesus frees us both from the penalty of sin and the power of sin. What does it mean to be set free? We're freed both from the penalty of sin and the power of sin. You see, the big difference between the old nature that is past and the new nature that has come, if you're in Christ, is who you serve. It's who you serve. It's where your allegiance is, right? Remember, the problem is sin. Let's see what Romans chapter 6 has to say about this. Picking it up in verse 2. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death. Listen to this. In order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. That's what baptism is, right? It's not an image of washing and of cleansing. It's an image of death and resurrection. Right? For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his. Hallelujah. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. You see, we used to be slaves to sin. We used to be captives of our flesh. But now, if you are in Christ, now we are cut off from the control of sin, and we can live as slaves, as servants of righteousness to God instead. You see, being forgiven absolves the penalty of sin, right? Now I'm not like under condemnation from the Lord, right? But being set free delivers us from the power of sin. And this is essential to understand in our lives with God. Before life with Christ, we were slaves. We were under the dominion of sin. We were under a different power. But having been saved by him, we are set free from that power. The influence of sin no longer has dominion over us. Fusion. And what that means is now you really can live a different life. Your life can be different. Lives led by God's Spirit and not by sin. I think addiction is a great example of this, right? People with substance addiction, like drugs, alcohol, sexual addiction, like pornography, or even entertainment addiction. The way experts are saying the way young people use their phones, not to mention Netflix and everything else, video games, is a form of addiction happening right now, right? And when it comes to addiction, you may start by using this object, but over time it gains control over you and it ends up using you. You're not free because you're under its control. You're not free to choose otherwise. Even if you want to stop, even if you get to a place of wanting to stop, you're not able to, right? You don't have the freedom to do so because the drink, the porn, the phone has the power. And this is why our real ID in Christ is such good news. Because Jesus is not just saying, hey, you're forgiven, do better next time. He's saying, no, you're forgiven. The penalty of sin is gone, and the power of sin is gone too. It's replaced with the power of God himself living in us, Fusion. We can live different lives because of the work of Jesus. If we choose to receive God's grace and respond in repentance, in confession, God works transforming, freeing work in our souls that we can live different lives. He is the more powerful force, and he is here to set you free. And what it means to be set free, if we keep following that path, right? Point number three, in Christ, we are more than conquerors. What does that mean? Jesus empowers us to live lives of increasing victory over sin. Empowers us to live lives of increasing victory over sin. You may have heard everything I've said so far. And if you're anything like me about sin not having dominion over you, you might be like, yeah, sounds cool. I'm not experiencing that. Or maybe I did right after Revive last year. And that's why I'm really looking forward to this year, right? You might think, yeah, but at times it's still really hard to say no. You fill in the blank to whatever sin that is, right? Whatever it is that's against God's way. Galatians 5:1 says, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Fusion, you've been set free, but we're called to stand firm in that. It takes discipline. It takes choice to stay free. And it's empowered by God's Spirit. It's not you trying to make it happen, but it does. You are involved in the process. Your participation, right? Though we're made new in Christ and we're truly cut off from the power, from the dominion of sin, the temptation of sin still remains. The presence of sin still remains in our world. Galatians 5:16-17, a little bit later in that chapter, says this. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. Listen to this. They are in conflict with each other so that you're not to do whatever you want. You see, the Bible talks about the flesh. It's this Bible-y word, right? For the old self, the old me that I've been separated from, that desires the opposite of what God wants. All of my broken nature, desiring all those broken things, that's my flesh, right? It's the old me that used to be dominated by sin, a slave to broken, twisted desires. And to be honest, Fusion, this changed so much for me when I learned about the category of the flesh, right? I used to feel so much shame and even doubt my salvation when I was tempted and still gave in to sin. Right? Like, if Jesus saved me, if he forgave me, if he made me new, why do I still want this? And I would doubt, like, maybe it didn't take. Yeah, like, I know God's really powerful and there are some other really cool stories of people's lives being changed by God, but I'm not feeling that kind of power in my life, right? Why do I still want and crave what's sinful? But learning that there's a war happening inside me between the Spirit and the flesh, the old self and the new self, that freed me. Right? If this is a fight, then I'm going to give everything that I have to this. I'm going to give everything I have to align myself with who God says that I am and believe that he is the one making me more powerful, giving me power over sin. right? And the good news is that this fight is not going to be determined by a coin flip, because the dominion of sin was replaced with the death-conquering resurrection power of the Holy Spirit that lives inside of you. It's not just you versus your old self. I've tried that. I've lost. And now it's me with the Holy Spirit, the power of the living God against my old self. I like those odds better. Let's go Romans 8, because you always should, right? It says, what then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us, how will he not also along with him graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against them those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who's the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? Look at verse 37. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Fusion, this fight is not just you against your old self. God is with you. God is for you. And if you participate with him in his will for your life, if you submit yourself to him, you will win. If you stay with the Lord, submit to him, he will bring the victory in your life. You see, the internal state of our souls, it's a battle between the flesh and the spirit. Don't go back to being a slave to sin. We must live differently, because living differently is living free. I think of it like muscle memory. You know, I was an athlete. I dabbled in a little bit of music, right? And I'm a little bit of a gamer as well, right? And so I think all of these have some examples, right? When I was, I played football, I played track, right? There are so many things about having good form in athletics that you really want to do, right? But in particular, I was a pole vaulter, right? And the first time you pole vault, you're not going to look cool, right? You're not going to look impressive, and sometimes, no matter how much you practice, you still won't. But when I first started, it was sort of like focusing on every little detail of the approach, and then as the jump through, it's like, oh, I forgot that one thing. Focus on that next time, right? But the more and more and more you do that, those things start to come naturally to you, right? I've seen other people play instruments very impressively, right? And I've started playing guitar. The trick is, if you just know G, C, D, and E minor, you can play a lot of songs, right? And when you first start, you're kind of like, right? And you're like really focusing on getting all this. But the more you practice, your hands just find those right shapes. Have you ever played video games with someone who's never played video games? What are they doing half the time? Looking at the controller. It's like, where's that button, right? But like, the more you play, you're not looking at the controller anymore. Your fingers, no. There's muscle memory that happens the more you do something. Fusion, have you considered what would it be like if you had Holy Spirit instinct in your life? Where you come into a situation, and there used to be this temptation that came, and that used to be your muscle memory, but God has completely delivered you from that, such that now what comes naturally to you is a completely different response, right? What if instead of, I used to be experience frustration with this one coworker, and I had to focus on really being really patient and really kind, but now that comes more naturally to me because the Spirit of God has borne that fruit in my life. Right? Or when these other people put me down, it took all of my self-control to not shoot a line back at them. But now, responding in kindness and grace, that comes naturally to me. Can you imagine having Holy Spirit muscle memory? That's what the work of the Spirit of God is doing in us, Fusion. That's so hopeful to us. Let's not only rest on the promise that God is with us. Let's lay hold of the promise that God has formed in us, that we can live with his power, our lives, our character being transformed. God's power at work will transform us, strengthening us so that we live lives of increasing victory over sin. Can I share a real story with you? I want to share a real story because I want to offer real hope. Early on in high school, I started struggling with pornography. And all the while, I was going to church, I was reading my Bible, I was going to life group, and I was feeling terribly guilty. So much shame. But I never had the ability to stop and stay stopped, to stay away from that. I believed in God. I loved God. You know how many times I stood up at camp to be saved for the first time? I was so saved. And yet I was powerless. Eventually, in a time of desperation for God, I decided to do two things: to confess to my dad and to confess to my high school life group and life group leader. And the reason I did that is because I believe God's word, which in James chapter 5, verse 16 says, "Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed." Elsewhere in the Bible, it talks about being forgiven, and I knew that I needed to be healed. And so I, with a couple seconds of insane courage, confessed to my dad, to my life group. And taking those actions to truly repent and truly walk in accordance with God's word resulted in a deep level of healing in my heart. And through those conversations, I developed rhythms of confession and through accountability and choosing, listen to this, life-giving restrictions on my phone and other ways to access the internet, right? In order to stay free, in order to stay in the made new identity that God won for me. And that's cool, but the story gets better than that, Fusion. You see, for years, I lived a life of purity, relying on regular accountability and the restrictions that I set. But to be honest, I still faced extremely powerful temptations and for a number of times was saved by the restrictions that I set. And so praise God that in a moment of gospel sanity, that I set restrictions on myself so that I would be protected when in a moment of temptation, right? But still all the while, I hated that. I lost faith I lost faith that God could change me so deeply that I wouldn't need those one day. And that's what I longed for more than anything else. And so I'm grateful for those restrictions and that season, but I wanted more, right? And later on in the story, I began to take up the spiritual discipline of fasting. We'll talk more about that in a second. But through that practice, just over and over and over again, choosing to, like, oh, there's an appetite. No. By submitting myself to that process, you know what I actually did? I didn't earn more of God's love. I didn't earn more of God's power, but I did open myself to more of it. I gave God a wide open door to work in my heart. Right? And through that practice, I've discerned that God has consistently used those times of fasting to starve my flesh and strengthen my spirit. To the point now that I know I am truly new. My appetites do not have power over me. Since power is broken, and Fusion, hear me loud and clear, I do not tout this. I don't say this just to be some cool pastor that has a cool testimony. No. I offer this because I had no hope. I didn't have faith that God could do this complete of a healing in me, but I stand before you now and it's done. And so don't applaud for me. Thanks. Cool. Right? But applaud for the hope that's available to every single person in this room by the power of the gospel. Because that's our God. He's still living. He's still active. And I just know that there are people in this room that are longing for that kind of hope. Right? And here's the best part of the story. He's taken me, that's conquering sin. He's taken me to be more than a conqueror because now as a youth pastor, I help work with students to overcome this same thing. It's not just conquering sin. It's becoming more than a conqueror. That's God's will for us in our lives. For our moments, for God, his redeeming power is so good that where we were broken is now an area of greatest impact. Fusion family, this is what God's doing. Now, you may be hearing some of this and you're like, I'm in. How? Right? I've tried different things before. Nothing's stuck. How does this happen? So I just want to humbly offer just a couple of ways to apply this in our lives, and then we'll wrap up, right? So the first thing I want to encourage and exhort you to do is to identify as new. To identify as new. I've noticed in myself and in other people, there's somewhat of a coping method with sin where we would rather joke about our immaturity than deal with it. And we're like, oh, yeah. Oh, what time was that? Oh, there's no way I could wake up in time for that. Oh, yeah. Like, oh, man, you should have seen, like, that plate of food that I destroyed. You know, it's like, and we would rather just crack a joke about our sin rather than crucify it. Infusion, I'm calling us to more. Hear it loud and clear. It's not funny. Sin's not funny. What's your attitude towards sin? Because it will destroy you, and it will destroy those around you. I'm calling you to identify as new. Don't take sin lightly, and also don't let it bring you to despair, because the stronger man, God himself, is in you. And so you need to take a serious inventory, right? What's your attitude towards sin? Is it like, oh, well, no one's perfect. God will forgive me. Is it like, ah, oh, I'm grieved, but I feel stuck? Or are you at a point where, no, this is a fight, and I'm willing to do whatever it is with the Lord to win? Identify as made new. You know, when you were ruled by sin, it was normal to sin. But you're not ruled by sin anymore if you're in Christ. And so, Fusion, don't consider that the norm, right? That is abnormal to fall into sin. And I'm not thinking that any of us are going to be perfect. Don't mishear me, right? We're always going to be in need of God's grace. But that's when we repent and run to God, right? We never normalize sin. We identify as new. The second thing, because if you don't identify with your new identity, you won't live your new life, yeah. Right? So Fusion, I'm calling you. You are made new if you're in Christ. Believe it. The second thing I want to call you to is confession and accountability. Who are the trusted people in your life that you can tell the whole story? They can extend God's grace and mercy to you, and they will call you to more. I've been a part of groups that did the first two really well. I could tell the whole story, and they would extend God's grace to me, and we would encourage each other, and nothing would change. We need all three. We need people that we can tell the whole story to, that will extend God's grace and forgiveness, and will say, so how are we going to win? What are we going to do to respond to God's grace, to wage war against the flesh, believing with faith that God will give us the power to win, right? The third thing I want to call you to is true repentance, right? Repentance is a response to God's grace where we turn around and walk differently, live differently than we did before. And everyone knows that repentance is a good thing. Everyone's like, yeah, you should repent. That's cool. That's good, right? But I've observed in my life, and I've observed as a pastor in other people's lives, that sometimes it's easy to convince yourself that you've repented from your sin when you've just snoozed it. Yeah. And you're like, yeah, like, here's the thing. If you're struggling with self-control of eating, for one example, right? And you're like, I did it. I didn't eat brownies for breakfast. Confession, I've done that, right? But you leave the brownies in your house, guess what's going to be waiting for you when you get home? The brownies, right? Fusion, true repentance is getting rid of the brownies. If you're struggling with self-control in any area, how are you going to repent so decisively that it becomes impossible, or at least very difficult, for you to fall back into your sin? Right? The word decision, the etymology, the root of it, the C-I-S, means to cut. When you make a decision, you're cutting yourself off from other options. With every decision needs to come an incision, right? What are you going to cut off to so that you cannot sin, right? I think of it like a brace, right? When you're wounded, when you sin, you need a brace to restrict your movement so that healing can happen. And then eventually, by God's grace, the brace can come off, right? family, how are we going to practice true repentance, right? That we're going to live differently, respond to God's grace so that we'll live into a different result of our lives, right? I'm calling you to get rid of the brownies. Take that app off your phone. Break up with that person. Whatever it is in your life, how are you going to practice true repentance to make a cut into your life, to step into life, to stay free? The last thing I want to call you to is fasting. What is fasting? I'm talking about classic fasting, food, right? I feel like every time I bring up fasting, people are like, oh yeah, I fast. I fast social media. I'm like, that's good. Cool. Also, biblically, fasting is fasting food, right? And so, hear me loud and clear. You should fast social media regularly, right? But I want to call you to fasting food. Why? Because, first of all, Jesus assumed that that was going to be part of our lives, right? In Matthew 6, Jesus doesn't say, if you fast, do it this way. He says, when you fast, don't be dumb like the Pharisees, right? And so it's an assumption, and really just if you look at any church history, it's really just like the past 50 years in America that Christians don't fast. Right? Globally, historically, the church fasts, right? And so let's make that normal, right? That's a spiritual discipline, right? But really, why do we fast? Because it feeds the spirit while starving the flesh, right? And I just want to give my two cents that I'm really tired of people bagging on fasting. It's one of those things we like to joke about how we hate so that we don't do it. But there's so much power there. Church family, it has been such a force of God's transforming power in my life. What happens is you choose, I'm not going to eat for 24 hours. I do dinner to dinner, right? And then here's what happens. Very predictably, I get hungry. There's an appetite that enters my life. And then what happens is I say, no. And what happens is I'm retraining my mind, my heart, my body, my spirit, my flesh, that when an appetite comes into my life, that's not what controls me. I'm not controlled by appetites, I am self-controlled. And I submit myself to the power of the living God. And so, Fusion, this is what I'm calling you to. I'm calling you to not be appetite-controlled, to be self-controlled. And there has been no greater power, accessing of that power of God in my life than the spiritual discipline of fasting. So I want to invite you to that. I want to invite you to, if you've never fasted, go for a day, right? If you fasted here and there, try a longer time. But also, don't just be like, hey, that guy preached that one time, and I fasted that one time, it was cool, right? Make a rhythm of it. I need to regularly have my body, mind, soul informed that appetites don't rule here. The Spirit of God does. And I especially if you have any sort of addiction, substance, sexual, entertainment, willpower alone will not work. You need the power of God. And the absolute best way I've experienced that is through fasting. It's a way to not just moderate your behaviors, but to actually transform your desires, right? Can you just pause and imagine that with me? Whatever that is for you, can you just imagine that that doesn't have power over you anymore? That you're able to step into whatever setting that's coming to mind for you, and sin looks to you the way it looks to God. It's not desirable anymore, right? And holiness looks to you the way it looks to God. So desirable, so rich, so satisfying. This is what happens when we fast. Jacob, you can join me and we're going to wrap up right now. You see, when we're saved, when we're forgiven, that's the beginning of a new life with God, not the whole thing, right? In Christ, we're made new. He forgives our sins, gives us a new position with him, and transforms us to give us a new condition with him as well. In Christ, we're set free. He delivers us from the penalty of sin and from the power of sin so that in Christ we are more than conquerors. You see, God's power and your participation will lead to your transformation, Fusion. We will be able to live lives of increasing victory over sin. So just as we close, I just want to invite us all to pray and to respond. I just kind of want to invite people to respond in those three categories. Maybe you're here and you've never given your life to Christ, and you're like, wow, this is exactly what I've been longing for. Then I want to invite you, in just a moment, I'll give you a chance to respond, to be made new in Christ, for to come to join Christ in his death so that you can join him in his resurrection, so that you can your old self can die with him, and a life empowered by his Spirit can rise with him. Maybe you are a follower of Jesus, but you've stepped back into slavery with a particular sin, whether it's an addiction or not, just some sort of habitual sin that you feel like you can't kick. And in just a moment, I'm going to invite you to respond and say, God, I want to be set free from that. And there are some of you that are earnestly following God, and there's just this one thing that you want to be free of, that you don't just want your behavior to change for a period of time, but you actually want your desires, your heart to be different, that you don't even want it anymore. And I'll invite you to respond, to ask the Lord to be more than that you would become more than a conqueror over that. So let's pray. Father, thank you that as deep a salvation as we needed, that's the salvation we got in you. You're so good, God. You're so powerful, but you didn't have to be so good, but you are. Thank you, God. We stand in awe of the sacrifice of Jesus for our good. And so, Lord, I just want to pray, if you want to receive Christ for the first time, if you want to be made new, I'm just going to pray a little prayer, and I want you to just repeat that prayer in your own heart and mind. And then after that, I'll just ask you to just look up and make eye contact with me, just so I can see that and encourage you. And so if you want to be made new in Christ, just pray this prayer. Jesus, thank you for your sacrifice. I believe that you came to earth, that you lived a perfect life, that you died an innocent death on my behalf, and that you rose from the dead, conquering death and making an opportunity for me to have new life. I want that new life with you. I repent of my sins. I declare you as Lord. And if you just prayed that prayer for the first time to be made new, would you just make eye contact with me really quick, just so I can see you and rejoice and celebrate with you? Amen. Amen. Praise God. Yes, I see you. I see you. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for being at work. Now, if you feel like there's something you need to be set free from, just pray this prayer. God, I believe that I've been saved by you. I believe that because of that, your Holy Spirit dwells in me. God, set me free. Cut me off from the dominion of sin that I have stepped back into. God, continue to make my positional reality with you an experiential one. God, set me free and help me to stay free. If you just prayed that prayer to be set free with God, would you just look up at me as well? I can just look you in the eyes and encourage you. Amen. Amen. God's doing that work in you even now. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. And then finally, if you want to pray to not just live a life of conquering sin, but becoming more than a conqueror, stepping into the fullness of what God has offered you, just pray this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, thank you that you came to save us all the way. Thank you, God, that your redemptive power is so strong that my area of brokenness can become a magnifying glass for your glory and for your kingdom to shine forth. God, would you do that work in me? Lead me to any step of repentance necessary that I can live for you and for your kingdom and lead others there as well. If you just prayed that prayer, would you look at me as well? Just amen. Celebrate that. Praise God. Praise God. Come on. In just a second, we're going to respond in worship because that's all we can do to a God this good. I just want to encourage you, Fusion. If you made a first-time decision, your next step is to get baptized. Those classes are coming up at the end of this month on the 26th. Don't miss that. But for all of us, don't leave this room without addressing what the Spirit has led you to. That maybe you need to pray with one of the pastors or just with the person next to you. Don't leave this room without following the prompting of the Spirit to step into the fullness of the life he's given. But for now, let's all stand and worship together.